Jesus. I've come to glorify you, identify with you, speak your name as my own. I come to crown you King, your praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify your name.
We have the will of God. I think in my lifetime, over my lifetime that I've walked with the Lord, been a lot of times when we were seeking the will of God. When we say that, we mean we want to know what he wants us to do. Most of the time we're saying, you know, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Do you really want me to do this or not? And, you know, that's what he wants in us. He wants in us to yield up our own will and want what he wants. And that's a difficult thing because in our flesh, we don't like to do that. We want to say, I have the right to do whatever I want to do, and that's what I'm going to do. But we know that according to the Word of God, we have the divine will. It's all written down right here. Everything that God wants us to do, especially we're in the New Testament times, we are led by the Holy Spirit into the perfect will of God. So the greatest example, of course, of anyone following the will of God is Jesus Christ himself. You know, he agreed with the triune God, agreed that this is what he would do. He would come down here and he would give his life as a ransom for us and to buy our redemption. Praise the Lord. So let's look at Luke 22. Luke 22 is where Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, and he's praying there in the garden. And he says to the Father, Father, if you be willing, this is in verse 42 of chapter 22, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. But he agreed with the will of God. It was already planned. I'm glad the Lord put that in there. I'm very glad that we can see that Jesus had this struggle because he was a human, but yet he was God. He had that God nature in him. And he said, Lord, if you're willing, well, then remove the cup. But we knew that it wasn't the will of God to remove the cup, didn't he? Praise the Lord. So he's the greatest example that we have in the Word. If you turn to Hebrews 10, we find where Paul is talking about this. And, of course, it's a prophecy of that is recorded in Psalm 40. And Paul is saying that this is what Jesus Christ did. He fulfilled this prophecy. And so in verse 5 of chapter 10 of Hebrews, it says, wherefore, when he cometh into this world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And then in verse 7, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. And in other words, in the written word of God, it was written of the prophecies that Christ would come. And it's written, of course, in God's book in heaven also, that this would be the plan. to do thy will, O God. Jesus is the greatest example we have of doing the will of God. He could have called 10,000 angels to deliver him. That's what he said. He said to them, when Peter chopped off the ear of the high priest's servant, Jesus said, put your sword up, Peter. Don't you know that I could have called 10,000 angels to deliver me? But he was willing to do the will of God. That was the plan of God. One place it says, before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. So the results in verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. By that will of God that was performed, we now have been sanctified. What does that mean? We've been set apart for the working of God, to be his people, to be yielded to God, all because Jesus was willing to go the will of God, go into the will of God. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Praise the Lord. So we look at this little word will, and in the Greek it means a determination, a choice, a decree. So when God said, this is the way it's going to be, that shows his will. See, what he has willed. And what he wills comes to pass because he's sovereign. All he does is speak the word and it is done. When he spoke the worlds into their existence, all the stars and the sun and the moon and of course the earth and all these things, they were his will and he spoke them into existence. And so he is in the will. He has a will. He has a determination which he has made before the whole earth was created. And that will is being worked out in the world today. You know, we've discussed this, I think, several of us. I didn't really expect to see a plague like we're having before the coming of Jesus Christ for his bride, before he comes, before the tribulation. But for some reason, God has this in his will. He has a will to bring about this plague. Why on earth would he do that? Does he not like people? Of course, he loves people, doesn't he? He loves us. But he's trying to work his will. His will is that we all come to know Jesus as our Savior. His will is for us to all walk with God and yield to God. But what do? As a human race, we get worse and worse instead of better and better. And it's evident in the way that these people are rioting in the United States. There are evil people that are leading those groups, people that have other things in mind to destroy this nation. And of course, they're not of God. They're of the devil. They're of the devil. But God's will is going to be worked. God has to allow things to happen or they can't happen. Did you know that? So why would he allow all of this insurrection, all this trouble? I don't like it. A lot of people don't like it. But he has a divine will. He's trying to work in people because the tribulation is coming. The time is coming. He's going to come and deliver his people from this earth. And he's trying to say, wake up. This is not such a good world down here. There are troubles here. Even this crazy dirt cloud that's coming over from Africa. Have you ever heard of such a dumb thing as that? That all of the stuff that's happened in Africa with the plagues of the locusts that have eaten everything up. And here comes a big dirt cloud that's going to come over the United States. It's amazing. They said it might cause some of us not to be able to breathe very well. Well, what are we going to do? We're going to trust God and look up. People, look up. His will is being performed in this world. Right now, he is performing his will for the end time. He is a sovereign God. What does that mean when we say he's sovereign? That means he is the supreme ruler. Nobody tells God what to do. He does his will. He is the supreme ruler of this whole universe. And he is the creator of all things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In Hebrews 4, look here while we're in Hebrews. Let's go to the fourth chapter, and we're going to begin reading with verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divide and asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do." This shows the might of our God. If it's his will, it's going to come about, because he's the one that is ruling over everything. He is the word of God. And his word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Praise the Lord. So I thought that scripture was a blessing to me as I was studying. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God's will. Praise the Lord. I noticed how many times it says of God, "I will." Look that up sometime. Just look up the words, "I will." God says many times in the Old Testament, "I will." Beginning in the very beginning, "I will make this. I will make a man. I will do this. I will establish." He says, "I will bless. I will give. I will multiply. I will judge, and I will destroy." Those are some of the times that it says, "I will." He is the sovereign God. He can do what he wants to. And he does it all in love. You know that? He does every bit of this that he does because he loves humanity and is trying to get them to look to him. He's trying to say to the people of this world, "Time is short. You need to be ready to come and be with me. I'm going to take you to heaven one of these days." God's sovereign will is being worked out in this earth, and no power is greater than him. He will work his will. It's going to happen, folks. You know, we can pray and pray and say, "Lord, don't send the tribulation. Don't send the tribulation." But you see, his word has already declared he's going to do that. So there's nothing that we can do to keep his will from being worked. He has it all in his plan, and he made that before the foundation of the world. And everything is going according to his divine will. We don't like some of the things sometimes, do we? We don't like it when we get sick. We don't like it when we have the situation right now where we have to think about this virus and try to be careful and all of that. But one thing trials do is it makes us depend on God. It makes us turn to the Lord and say, "Lord, I need you." See, you know what happens when we don't do that? We feel like, "I don't really need God. I can make it okay. I can do what I want. I can just go and do whatever I want. And, you know, he's up there somewhere. I don't think he even sees me." You know, all those things that Satan tries to bring into our mind. But he has a will, and he is doing that and performing that now. And you know, he's not surprised about anything. He isn't a bit surprised that this plague has come. He has allowed it. He's trying to speak to people, to trust him, to believe him. You know, I thought of the early church, and we're almost like the early church, aren't we? We're hindered from coming and worshiping the Lord. And because of the plague, because of this thing that's happened. In Romans 8:27, it tells us that even the Holy Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Think about that. The Holy Spirit is interceding for us after the will of God. by the will of God. Whatever God the Father wants, He's working that. He's praying. The Holy Spirit is even working in us, and He's praying that the will of God will be done in our lives. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Praise the Lord. Just think about that. Sometimes if you feel alone, remember that the Holy Spirit is interceding for you, that the will of God be done in your life. Isn't that something? And of course, we know that Jesus Christ, we've already talked about Jesus, He went to the cross to fulfill the will of God. He came to this earth as our Savior by the will of God. The divine counsel was held before this world was ever created. And God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit spoke to one another and agreed that this would be the great and marvelous plan. The world, earth would be created, and all of the things that would help us here to grow here and become the children of God. In 1 Peter 1:20, it says, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in this last time for you." This was all ordained before the earth ever had a foundation, before it was ever created. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit ordained and foreordained that Jesus would come and die for our sins and redeem us and bring us to heaven one of these days. Isn't that wonderful to think about? Let's remember who God is. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the book of John, the first chapter of the book of John. We've had that not long ago, read some of these scriptures here. We're going to read a few more scriptures here. In this book of John, the very first verse is talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, just what we already said a while ago. We're going to begin reading with verse 9. Speaking about Jesus, it says, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." The will of God. The will of God was that Jesus Christ would die, would come here and die, as we've already said quite a bit here. We've said it quite a lot in the last few words that I've spoken. But he came not born, not that of blood or of the will of the flesh, but he came that we might be born again and receive Christ in the will of God, what God had ordained. Isn't that a beautiful thought? It's God's will for all the people of this earth to be born again. It's God's will. He made provision that every single person that has ever been born in this world could be with him in heaven. And the new earth and all of that, that was already made provision for. But he gives humanity a free will. And we can choose. We choose whether we want Christ as our Savior or not. We choose whether we want to walk with God. We choose if we want to yield completely. We're making choices all the time, aren't we? But it's God's will for us to follow him. In Mark 3:34 through 35 is where these people came. There were Jesus's mother and his natural and the natural brothers and sister came and to see him. And Jesus spoke of, and he said, "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother." In other words, he has a relationship to us, those who do the will of God, much deeper and greater than his natural relationship that he had to his natural mother and the children. So as we believe in Christ, we become the sons of God. We're born of God. We have a new life, all according to the will of God. Praise the Lord. Another meaning of the word will speaks of his determinate choice or decree. That is that God determines that all who believe in Jesus Christ will be his children. Isn't that a beautiful thing to know the will of God? And our callings of God are all in the will of God. Praise the Lord. If he calls us to sit in the pew and listen to the word of God and to witness to others or to whatever he calls us to do, it's his will that brings that about, that speaks to our heart that we need to do that. And it is his will for us to fulfill the ministry he has given to us, whatever it is, whatever it is. Praise the Lord. God uses us in many different ways. We all have some kind of talents in different ways. And in the spiritual, when we become Christians and yielded to God, God uses those things. A lot of times, I've known a man, and I mentioned it here a while back, that used to try to preach, and oh my, he just was so, could barely read. And it was so hard, but he knew he was called. And you know, he became one of the greatest grace ministers. It was hard to listen at first. But you see, if it's God's will, God will work it out. God will bring that about, whatever he has. So let's look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about the will of God. He talks about the will of God in a lot of places. He was totally given to do the will of God, wasn't he? And even as God called him to be an apostle, that was a big thing. You know, he was a persecutor of the church, a man that was going totally against the will of God. And how did God stop him? He knocked him down on the ground to the road to Damascus, let the bright light shine on him. And through that, he became a child of God. And God brought him into being an apostle, which is a great and wonderful place. The apostle of the church age. And that's 1 Corinthians 1:1. One of the places that he says that. Paul, to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. And Sosthenes, our brother. So when God calls us to something, he has a divine will in that. He has a voice in that. And he performs that will in us. We don't do it in our own strength. People that try to do that in their own strength, they just decide they're going to be a minister or, you know, and they try to do it, they fail. And it's not spiritual. You can tell it's fake. If you hear a minister who is not really called of God, not really in the will of God, you will notice there's a difference in that and in a minister who is called of God, who it is the will of God for them to be doing this. You don't just choose. You don't just say, I'm going to be a faith healer. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. No, we have to follow the will of God, as Apostle Paul did. In Galatians 1:15, Paul writes, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. See, that call of the will of God was from even before he was born. God called a number of people in the Bible before they were born. He knew, and he instigated that pregnancy, that child would be the chosen of God to do his will. He performs his will through people a lot of times. Other times, he just is sovereign. But he performs his will. So when Paul traveled on his missionary journeys, he went in the will of God. He didn't go anywhere that wasn't the will of God. And we see what a disaster that is when someone tries to do something that's not the will of God. You see it. You know. You can feel it. That it isn't the will of God. So we all need to be careful of that, that we are following the leading of the Lord. And sometimes it's hard to know, you know, well, what does God want me to do? Maybe he gives you three choices and you have to figure out which one is the will of God. That's happened to us at different times. And there were times when God had his will to be performed that I didn't know if it was the will of God. And I struggled. I had to pray and seek the Lord. But my husband was the head of the house, and he felt led to do it. But you know that we moved 21 times before we came here. And now we haven't moved at all since 1981, except three different places in town. But I think I'm settled now. So there is the will of God. Paul traveled on his journeys preaching in the will of God. He says this in Romans 1:10, that I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God. God leads us to do something. He will supply the need for us. He will supply what we need to perform that will. We don't have to go out and beg people and say, please help us. We're supposed to go to Africa. We knew a couple like that when I was a child. They visited all the meetings around, and they said, the Lord has led us to go to Africa. We need money to go. A lot of the churches, Grace churches, gave them a lot of money. And they never did go. In fact, their marriage broke up after that. They never did go. Isn't that strange? That seems strange. But people will do that. They will say, you know, I feel led to do so-and-so, and you've got to help me do it. But we have to be careful because we want the will of God, don't we, in people's lives. Praise the Lord. In 2 Timothy 1:1, is that it? Yes. That's, again, another one of those verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. See, when he chooses somebody and lets them know like he did to Apostle Paul. I mean, he never did knock me down on the ground, but he did to Apostle Paul. He knocked him down because he was going in his own strength. He wasn't a believer. He was going to persecute some more of the Christian. So God just knocked him down off of his horse right on the ground. And he speaks about in also Romans 15:32. He says there that he wanted to travel to see some of the saints with joy by the will of God. So after he learned that lesson on the road to Damascus, he followed the will of God, not his own thoughts. He was totally out of the will of God by persecuting the Christians, wasn't he? And so we too need to learn that. And I'm going to skip a little bit on my message, but let's go on to the book of Romans again. We've had a scripture here in Romans about a week ago or so that we emphasized, and that was Romans 12:1. We're going to go on down in the chapter a little bit, but we will read Romans 12:1 and then go on down. All right, Romans 12. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. We brought out last time we studied this about how the word present has the meaning of yielding, to yield our bodies to the Lord. God has a divine will for us, and he wants us to do that. He won't force us. I remember last week I was talking about my little girl who had to be forced to pick up her toys, and then she still wouldn't do it. So she turned out to be a wonderful person, really yielded to God, and a very good example when she's in high school and everything to other people as a Christian. But we're like that. We are stubborn in our old flesh, and we don't want to do the will of God. But the Lord says here to present our body to God. here I am, Lord. The scripture has several people that say that to the Lord. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Isaiah said that. Here I am, Lord. And so, as it says there in verse 2, but be not conformed to this world. See, if we're going to yield our bodies to the Lord and follow his will, then the first step is to decide in our hearts, in our minds, I'm not going to go the way of the world now. And the word conformed there means to fashion like or to conform to the same pattern. When we make something with a pattern, we hope it's going to turn out like what the picture looks like. We have to follow the directions. So that's what happens when we fashion our lives after the world. They begin to look like the world. They don't turn out to be what God wants. But he says, be transformed. Now, we can't be transformed in our own strength. We can't just say, well, I'm not going to be conformed to the world. Right now, I'm just going to be transformed. That's just not the way it works. The way that it works is that we yield our bodies. The first verse says, yield your body. Yield your body to the Lord. Then there's going to come a transformation. There's going to come a time. And I love that word, transform, because it's metamorphosis. I love the word metamorphosis. You know what happens in a metamorphosis? That little thing is inside that cocoon, and it changes completely. The little worm changes to be a beautiful butterfly. Praise the Lord. So the Lord says, be transformed, be changed like a metamorphosis by the renewing of your mind, your thoughts. We think like the world. We walk like the world. We do the worldly things. But now that we have Christ, let our mind be changed. Let us no longer go by what we want, but what the will of God is. See, praise the Lord. The mind be changed. And he says to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I want us to think about this. Some people think it's three different wills. I myself do not. I believe you're either in the will of God or you're out of the will of God. And these words actually are adjectives that express what the will of God is. And if you look at them in the Greek, you'll find that each one of them are very wonderful words. The good will of God is the beneficial will of God. In other words, or it means also well, W-E-L-L. That means like if you follow the will of God in your life, things are going to be good. They're going to be pleasing to God. And the word acceptable has the meaning of fully agreeable. That's what in the Greek it means. Paul was saying, and the fully agreeable word of God, the fully agreeable will of God. That's the way the Lord leads us in his will. And then, of course, the perfect means the complete and full, in full age, perfect or full age. So as we follow the direction of the Lord, we're going to be either in the will of God or not in the will of God. And so it's important for us to follow the will of God. And I'd like for us to also turn to 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to read a little bit here in this fourth chapter. 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, speaking about the will of God for our lives as Christians. We're not to be like the world. And when Paul was writing these Thessalonians, you know, they were up in Macedonia, I believe it is, Greece or Macedonia. And the world was really in chaos as far as the things of God, because they were worshipers of idols. They were very worldly. They did a lot of stuff that, you know, was very wrong in their Roman culture and all of that. And so Paul is telling them here what the Lord wants from their life as they should walk in the will of God. And let's read with verse 1. He says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. So our life, our walk before the Lord, God wants us to abound more and more in that. Do it more, in other words, be walking with God more fully all the time. He says, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments, because he didn't preach the Ten Commandments to people. He taught them what the will of God was. And that word commandment can be translated as the guidelines of conduct. The guidelines of conduct. When he was there with them, he was giving them the word of God, what God wanted them to do. To switch, he says in verse, chapter, isn't it 2:1, or it's the latter part of the first chapter. He said that they turned to God, from God, to God from idols. They were idolaters. They were people that did whatever their flesh felt good to do. They did it. That was the way the Roman government went. And Paul is saying here, he says that he wanted them to walk pleasing to God, as he says there in verse 1. For you know the commandments that we gave you by the Lord Jesus. And this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Now, the word sanctification, it's a beautiful word, large word, but it's a beautiful word. What it means is that God, when he sanctifies us and brings us into sanctification, he makes moves in our lives. He separates us from the world. That's the first thing that happened when we got saved. We have a new life. We're no longer of this world. We are a child of God. And so he has redeemed us, and he has given us this place of sanctification, separated to the Lord and to God's use, is what that means. So each of us have experienced sanctification in God's mind, in God's sight. This is the act of sanctification. He has set us apart to be his children. He has made us one in the body of Christ, and we are his children. But the sanctification work also goes on and on in our life as we walk with God. Things that we used to love and things that we would do in our flesh, like these Thessalonian saints. Before they were saved, they didn't think anything wrong with worshiping idols. They didn't think anything wrong with just doing whatever the Romans had doing and whatever their country was doing, and all sorts of matter of wrong things, fornication, he mentions. But because they were redeemed, because they were saved, then they have been sanctified to the Lord. They've been set apart unto God. That's what it means. Remember, sanctification, set apart unto God. And then as we walk with God, we're going to experience more and more sanctification. God will deal with us and teach us to be separate from the world. We don't belong to this world. And one of these days, we're just going to fly away. Praise the Lord. This is his will. The will of God is our sanctification, that we be separated to the Lord, that we should abstain from fornication, and that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Possess. Possess your vessel. That word in the Greek means, here in this place, means to control. Control your vessel. Now, you mean it's up to me to control myself? You know, like they say, control yourself. Don't get angry, control yourself. Well, you'll find out you can't do that. You try to do something in your flesh, you'll fall flat on your face, and you'll be fine. You do it again. You can tell yourself, don't say those bad words. I'm not going to do that anymore. But if you're doing it in your flesh, you'll do it again, because the enemy will make sure that you say it. But if you turn to the Lord with all his grace and mercy and seek to do the will of God, then you'll be changed. The change will start taking place in your life, and you'll begin to walk and please God. As it says there in that verse, this is the will of God, verse 3. This is the will of God. Want to know the will of God for your life? Give it all over to Him. You know, like we sang the song, that's why we sang the song. Not my will, but thine be done. That the fullness of His Son may dwell within this life that I am offering you. I'm offering you my life, Lord. Would you have your will? Would you let your will be perfect in my life that I may know your will? Praise the Lord. So, in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, it tells us this scripture in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Can you do that? You can, with the Lord's help. Say, thank you, Lord, for this circumstance. How can we say that? Because God is going to show His might and His power in that circumstance as we give that all over to Him. The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Have you had to give thanks because of illness that you don't really want? Have you had to give thanks when you didn't have quite enough money to meet something that you needed to meet? Maybe you didn't have quite the food you would like to have. Had one period of our life when we didn't. But God was faithful. He kept us going. Our babies didn't suffer. They had their baby food and everything they needed, but the Lord was testing us to show us His power, that He would take care of us no matter what. And so we thank God for the will of God. Can we say, I want your will, Lord God, in my life. I want whatever it is that you want to work. I want that in my life. Can we say that and really mean it? It's hard. He may allow some hard knocks and some hard things that we'd just rather not have. But, you know, I know in my own experience that God worked through everything. God worked through everything. All the hardness, all the tests, all the trials, God worked in my life and in my family's life through that. And so He has His will to perform. And He is preparing a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ right now. The Holy Spirit is doing His work. He's working in us to make us like Christ, to make us all in our whole life the will of God be manifest in us and through us. That's what He wants. And if we'll say, amen, Lord, I want it. I want that. I want to please You. I want to be in Your will. I want to do what You have me to do. He's going to work that in us. He hears us. Praise the Lord. We'll sing a song, and if anyone has a need, feel free to pray, come to pray, and we will pray for you if you have a need.
Let's stand and worship the Lord. On the glory dawning morning, we shall meet our Lord above, for He's coming soon to lift us from below. On His throne of wondrous splendor, we shall praise Him whom we love. Oh, the glory up in heaven we shall know. Oh, what glory we shall see, what rejoicing there will be on that glory dawning morning by and by. Free from sorrow, pain, and woe, we'll be caught up from below and to live with Jesus while the ages pine. On the glory dawning morning, we shall cast our golden crowns for the one who washed us in His precious blood. Like the sound of many waters, words within will mingle praise to Emmanuel who brought us unto God. Oh, what glory we shall see, what rejoicing there will be on that glory dawning morning by and by.
free from sorrow, pain, and woe, will be caught up from below, there to live with Jesus while the ages fight. On the glory dawning morning, there will be a marriage grand. Many guests will be assembled in the air to behold the holy union of the bridegroom and the bride, and enjoy the marriage supper rich and rare. Oh, what glory we shall see, what rejoicing there will be on that glory dawning morning by and by. Free from sorrow, pain, and woe, we'll be caught up from below, there to live with Jesus while the ages fly. On the glory dawning morning, when the saints have gathered in, and the time of Jacob's troubles will have ceased, we'll be reigning with the bridegroom, robed with all his glory then. In his kingdom all will be in perfect peace. Oh, what glory we shall see, what rejoicing there will be on that glory dawning morning by and by. Free from sorrow, pain, and woe, we'll be caught up from below, and to live with Jesus while the ages fly.
Sing it again, here we go.
Oh, what glory we shall see, what rejoicing there will be on that glory dawning morning by and by. Free from sorrow, pain, and woe, we'll be caught up from below, there to live with Jesus while the age.